fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
Let's get to zombie action.
Yeah, zombies. Well, so did you, Paul, did you see World War Z?
I did.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's interesting. I just kind of wanted to mention before we started that Richard Matheson died Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We should probably talk about that since, I Am Legend is sort of a zombie-esque, vampire-esque
story. Yeah. I mean, according to George Romero, I Am Legend is pretty much the wellspring from where it all came, right? Because George Romero said that he read I Am Legend and he wanted to make that into a movie, but I don't think he could get the rights or even thought about getting the rights, so he made Night of the Living Dead, and which is sort of his own kind of adaptation of... Yeah. Of I Am Legend, so...
That was also Omega Man, right?
Yeah, Omega Man and The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. Which, Paul, were you there when we went to see Last Man on Earth, like, years ago at the Egyptian Theater?
I was. I really enjoyed that.
It was kind of an eye-opening experience because I remember the first time I saw Last Man on Earth was when I was a teenager... as a little kid, I just remember seeing that on a small TV in my uncle's house, like a black, and it was in black and white. And that movie, that Vincent Price movie, just blew me away. And from then on in, I always loved that movie. And then I remember we went for like, it was like a birthday thing, right, Paul? Like, I was like, I want to see this.
I think it was like around our birthday or something like that. Or I just remember that, we went and it was like a beautiful print.
It
was like a pristine print. And, it did show its age and it showed, definitely how low budget it was.
Yeah.
But overall, honestly, it holds up. And as a period of it, as a product of its time and everything, I think it's a legitimately good scary movie.
Yeah, I think it definitely has its points. And it's interesting.
Corman, come on. What are you going to do?
Roger Corman. Yeah, but the thing, it's interesting because you said it was like a perfect print. And I don't know, if that movie was ever meant to be seen in that pristine condition. I mean... Well, not meant to be seen, but it always ran in drive-ins and crappy theaters, and then I saw it on TV, and I actually have a DVD of it somewhere, and I just seeing it's interesting how when you see something like in a pristine, like fantastic print on like a giant screen, like at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, how the flaws just like pop out at you. You're like, oh my gosh. So I don't know if that was the perfect viewing experience for that movie. I just remember being shocked as to how kind of bad or dated it seemed to me at the time, and kind of depressed after we saw it. Oh no.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it hung together well. It was really funny though to see them try to sort of build up Vincent Price as sort of the macho manly action hero.
Yeah.
When he just kind of, sort of minces around on camera.
That was
pretty funny. But I mean, there were some legitimately scary stuff in there. And I'm impressed that they were able to do what they did on the budget that they had.
Yeah. Ian, you should see it because it's not too horrifying a movie. I know you don't like shock horror or anything like that, right?
Yeah, I did see some of it. I remember this. It starts, it's black and white, right? And he's driving the car across the bridge in the beginning.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah,
I kind of fell in love with actually Omega Man because one of my buddies in school showed it to me, and we actually made our own Omega Man movie. It's I don't think it was actually released. This was before YouTube, and then my friend showed me a little bit of the movie you guys are talking about, but I don't think I've actually sat down and watched it from beginning to end. I love that story. I saw the Will Smith version as well.
I skipped the Will Smith version.
I saw it too.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't.
It starts off with a bang and then just goes downhill.
I think if they used people for, you know, and this might come up later in our talk, but I thought the Will Smith one. If they use people instead of PlayStation modeling rejects, I would have really enjoyed it more. But I thought they handled a lot of the stuff like really, really well. I always fall short on the CG aspect. But yeah, we would always yell Matthias at each other because that's what the bad guy in Mega Man would yell at Charlton Heston. He'd be like, Matthias!
Well, it's interesting. Paul, were you here? Because I used to have like screenings of like horror movies before I had a child and stuff like that. And we had a screening of Soylent Green at my house.
Oh, that's yes. Awesome.
And Omega Man back to back. And
that's right.
It was very interesting because we all thought that we were going to like Omega Man more than we like Soylent Green. And we ended up just being real. I just remember us watching Soylent Green and looking at each other around the room like, yes. Holy shit.
Soylent Green is one of the most visually stunning science fiction movies of all time.
But just prescient, too, like really predicting. Like, we all looked at each other like, is this coming? Like, it really kind of hit us all, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I really feel is like sort of the, I mean, you know, to tie this sort of all in with the zombie thing, you know, and the thing that Richard Matheson does so well with his writing is the feeling of like this could happen. That's what makes it scary. The idea that like, you know, this could happen. Matheson was, you know, he's sort of, you know, he's a fantasist and a science fiction writer and a horror writer and a realistic guy too. You know, he was really able to do all of it. You know, but he always, like, there was always just something inevitably relatable about whatever he was doing and about his characters, you know. Whether it's the Incredible Shrinking Man, whether it's the dude from Stir of Echoes, you know. Stir of Echoes was another Matheson story.
Yeah, and all those Twilight Zone episodes that he wrote too. I mean, the original Twilight Zone, you know.
Yeah.
I just remember reading I Am Legend. Obviously, I kind of knew the story when I finally picked up the book, like, gosh, several years ago, and reading the story and just being really sucked into it, and the ending just like knocking me on my ass, you know what I mean? And it still has not been made into a really, really great film. I mean, as much as we love Omega Man, Omega Man has not aged well, you know? And, you know, Last Man on Earth, you can say whatever you want, but for modern audiences, it's not going to hold up. And the Will Smith thing is just way off base, especially with the ending and everything. It's just like, you know, and as you said, with the CGI zombies, it's just, or whatever you want to call them, infected. But, I mean, the best, I wish the BBC or HBO it wouldn't even need to be a miniseries because it's such a short story, but I just wish somebody would do the novel justice. Not that it needs to, because, you know, the book is there. The book is always going to be there, and it's a fantastic book. So, you know, in any case, you know, Richard Matheson, the man who probably started it all, you know, the zombie craze that is still, you know, running high to this day. And, I just wanted to at least, you know, mention him in the beginning of this podcast because we are going to be talking about World War Z, in my opinion.
Zombies.
Not even zombie. Anyway.
Let's talk about it. I did.
Let's
see it
talk about World War Z.
I did see it this afternoon.
You saw it this afternoon.
what you had said about another movie earlier holds true. It starts off with kind of a bang and then goes downhill.
Yeah, yeah.
Great opening, I thought. Yeah, I love that opening. I was like, hey, this is not great little... Actually, Heidi turned to me. She's like, that's a great first act. I'm like, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And it changed.
Ian, why did you go see it? Because I know you don't like zombies, and you're not like a big... So what was it that sucked you into it?
Brad Pitt's dreamy, dude.
His flowing hair.
An extension of that, known as the wife. Yeah, I've watched Shaun of the Dead. I've seen, I think, a remake of some of the George Romero stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I read Walking Dead and watch that. And this was like, I'm probably not going to go out of my way to see this. But we had some gift certificate lying around, so we went downtown. And it just turned out the L.A. Film Festival was opening as well.
Oh. So
very crowded. But that's what got me to the theater. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, but for me to sum it up, this is a B movie with an A-list actor in it.
Absolutely.
And I don't even think it's a B movie. I think it's very C.
Okay.
I think what I posted on Facebook about the movie was, and anyone who's listening to this, spoilers, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you should just assume that whenever we're talking.
I know, exactly. Whenever we talk about a movie or anything, spoilers about this and about any other movie that we're going to talk about in this podcast. But, I posted on Facebook like that this is like the saltine cracker of zombie movies. It's boring. To me, it's unoffensive, and it's ultimately unsatisfying after you consume it. Like, I was very disappointed, and I don't know... I shouldn't have had any expectations going in. I mean, it was PG-13, and I like Brad Pitt. I think he's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. I've liked a lot of movies that he's been in, and he is dreamy, as Paul said, but this just didn't do it for me. I think that there was a severe lack of tension during the whole thing. I didn't feel that anyone was in all that much danger. Not enough blood, not enough gore. There are episodes of Walking Dead that are more horrifying to me than this big budget, almost $200 million movie. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that a little weird that like we live in a place where I think I was talking with Corey about this or somebody that like an episode of like NBC's Hannibal is like far gorier and scarier than like a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And that's on network true. Television.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen's dope.
What is that, Hannibal?
Yeah,
I've never watched it.
Oh my god, that guy is superior. But yeah, you know what, guys? I was surprised that the funny thing that got me. There was a lot of funny things in this movie, which I hope we could talk about.
Oh,
but
sure.
The one thing that really got me was by the time they got to Israel, and it's like, oh, you're letting them in. It's like, okay, wow, you know, Israel is painted here with this kind of brush that's like, okay, well, why are they singling Israel out? But then all of a sudden the Hebrews start singing like some praise and joy song, which I couldn't identify it. It wasn't like the Hora, and it wasn't like Simintov and Mazeltov, which is another, you know, very joyous song.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? I would love to know what song they were actually singing, because the zombies loved it. They climb that wall, man.
Wait, let's go back.
What did you think of that part?
No, because you're talking about Israel, but you're not talking about the context in which, like, all that stuff. Basically, there's a zombie plague, which anyone must know by now, and Israel apparently is the only city that found itself fortunate enough to wall itself off from the rest of the world, you know, right? And so there's a scene where... like Brad Pitt discovers that Israel as a nation is kind of like letting people in, and in the lines of whatever people who are immigrating to Israel through the zombie apocalypse, somebody manages to get a microphone and like a PA system or a megaphone.
They're hooked up to the main PA system.
And they start singing like some song, which I don't know what it is. I'm not Jewish. And the zombies on the other side of Israel's wall get like super excited. But that's the thing that like drove me crazy about this. There are so many ridiculous things.
I mean, it's like okay, they had the foresight to build these walls and like they've got these quarantine stations and everything like that, but they don't know that sound attracts them.
They didn't know.
It's like Brad Pitt was the only person who could learn about the zombies, you know.
Exactly.
And if he didn't happen to be there in your location to share what he had learned about the zombies, then you were just screwed because you couldn't learn it by yourself.
Exactly.
I love that part. I love how he figures out in the beginning how he's counting to 10 as he's running through a mob with his family.
Yeah.
And looking back, and he's deciphering how quickly the virus infects, and he counts to 10, and that's how quick it takes for the virus to take hold. So these are hybrid, fast zombies, which we haven't seen, I guess, since the remake of I Am Legend, right?
I don't know. They're sort of the go-to zombie now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, I hesitate. It's one of those things. First of all, has anybody read the book?
Yes, no. I have read the book, and it's fantastic.
I've read the book too, and the book is fantastic. And so adapting that was going to be a challenge because they wanted, you know, this sort of epic worldwide, you know, scope of a movie. But I felt like it's for a movie that, you know, hops all over the globe, you know, that goes from Philadelphia to, you know, off the shore of New York to Korea to Israel to England, you know, it really sort of felt small, you know? And I think that was the decision to focus in so much on a single character.
Well, it suffers from Tom Cruise syndrome, which is basically anytime Tom Cruise is in a movie, you know that Tom Cruise isn't going to be the center of attention. You can't get away from Tom Cruise. And then the other thing is, you know that Tom Cruise is not going to die. So in this movie, you know that Brad Pitt's the hero, and Brad Pitt cannot die. He has to be the focus of attention, and he's maybe going to get hurt, but he's not going to leave this mortal plane. He's not going to get turned into a zombie because he's the one that's going to save us all. And that's the biggest thing that sucks about the movie.
Well, what I think was kind of interesting is that, and like, you know, and when you're heading into that last third of the movie, you have a conversation, you know, he actually has a conversation with someone who he's like, you know, he's like, you don't have family. You don't understand what this could be. And the guy talks about how he lost his family. And he's like, we've all lost someone. And I'm sitting there like, no, actually Brad Pitt hasn't lost anyone here. You know,
exactly.
He emerges from this whole zombie apocalypse with his family completely untouched,
and he gains a family member.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. They adopt a little boy.
That's true. It reminded me a little bit of the end of War of the Worlds, you know, where like the kid, you know, who has been missing the whole time, suddenly comes out, and look, he's fine. And
the Spielberg one,
exactly. And that sort of drove me a little nuts there.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's what I mean. For me, it's called Tom Cruise syndrome, which is basically like the hero image, like nothing. Like, okay, he might get hurt. He's gonna have a little bit of anxiety while he's trying to accomplish his goal. You know, maybe his best friend will die, or you know, the red shirts around him will get offed. But this dude is coming through completely unscathed. And to me, that was really disappointing because given the choices that Brad Pitt has made with his career, I was kind of hoping for something with a little more gravitas.
Yeah, but I think they're also hoping for a bit of a franchise here.
Oh, absolutely. So especially with the way the thing ends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is basically like the war is not over. And I'm like, really? Because in the book, they were like, you know. And that's the thing is World War Z, the book, you're not going to be able to adapt it in a 2-hour movie. It's just impossible. You would have to make it like an HBO series, or like I said, like the BBC.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Can you imagine? Awesome. Can you imagine like a different director getting a hold of each segment? You know.
I know.
I mean, like, yeah, because I mean, think about that Japanese segment, you know, where you've essentially got Zatu Ichi versus zombies.
You know? Or you know, you've got the sequence in—is it New York on which bridge with the Marines or something?
Yeah.
Where they're like fighting a crowd of Marine like zombies on the bridge. I mean, it's such a great book because it takes a different tack than your usual horror novel, where it's like looking at it as like a historical tomb, and then it's breaking down like where did the virus come from, like. What are the different people that had to deal with it? It's almost like a zombie anthology, but it's not, because it's got like a common thread running through it that connects all the chapters together. In any case, this was not my favorite zombie movie by far. I thought that
they just lost all their steam when they left Israel. You know what I mean?
I think even for me before that, because I was a little bothered even in the Philadelphia scenes when the chaos kind of breaks out. Like if there's like a crowd like freaking out, you know, they're generally running away from like one thing, or like there's some kind of like mass, you know, go this way, or and there's everyone's just running in every different direction, and I couldn't even get a target on, which I guess would be how it would be if you were in a crowd like that, but I just couldn't get a focus on like what's happening. Like they don't even know like what's attack, like they don't even, is there a plane in the sky, are people shooting guns, like you couldn't get a handle on like what you were running away from. And then there's that sequence which Ian kind of talked about, where the guy gets bitten by the zombie and hits the hood of the car, and Brad Pitt turns around and, you know, is like, oh, you know, counting down. And then suddenly they get out of, you know, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, wherever they are. They get out with this Winnebago, and they're on an open road.
That thing came out of nowhere.
Well, they got in the Winnebago, and then they leave the city, and there's no struggle to get out of the city. They just manage to drive right out, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're on an open country road, like nothing happened, you know? And so to me, it's like, and to me, like a really good zombie apocalypse movie is when society is falling apart. Like for some reason, that to me is the most interesting thing, like how people act, how people react. It's the most dramatic part of the event.
Yeah, and I felt like the strongest part of this movie was definitely the scene in the supermarket.
That
was cool.
That was good. But for me, the airplane.
You knew they were going to end up there. You know, in the first minute of the movie with the. This is a pet peeve here. It's like, did you remember your inhaler? You know, it's like right away. You know, it's like, you know, like, oh man, that kid's gonna cause some trouble right there.
Yeah, with the inhaler. Yeah. For me, I thought the sequence that was the most kind of like novel was the airplane sequence. When when Brad Pitt and, you know, the Israeli soldier are on the plane and the virus breaks out, I was just like, how do you even get out of this? Like, there's no, you know, and they figured out a way, which I was just like, yeah, that there's no way that they would survive that plane crash, but, you know, whatever. And I kept expecting Samuel Jackson to show up and be like, so we're gonna get these motherfucking zombies off of this motherfucking plane, like, you know, like snakes on a plane. So I don't know, I just found the movie to be like a real disappointment, and for me it's like least common denominator zombie movie, you know what I mean? Like, let's make something that doesn't really offend anybody, might, you know,
and
get
it's not really scary, it's got a few prop moments there, you know, but you know, I get it, you know, it's definitely a middle America, you know, let's make you know, as many people as possible happy, and, you know, still call it a zombie movie. Now you had said something to the effect of, how do you make a PG-13 good PG-13 zombie movie? Answer, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I disagree with you, because I think a good PG-13 zombie movie has been made.
What's
that? That was Warm Bodies.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
That's
it
a
just
good
came
one.
Out.
I like that one.
Did you like it?
I love that movie.
It's kind of like a comedy, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a romantic comedy where one of the parties is a zombie. Yeah.
Oh. It's actually, there's some good Shakespeare references in there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Romeo and Juliet, you know, with zombies, and like they wear what I loved about it is that they wore the Romeo and Juliet stuff, like, you know, proudly. You know, it's like, you know what? We're gonna do the fucking balcony scene here. You know what? We're gonna.
Oh,
do
really?
That. Yeah, it's like they just really went for it. It was a sweet little movie. It was funny. Is it Nicholas Holt, right?
Yeah, the guy who played Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, yeah, he was,
and
he was
Beast
really
in the X-Men, the last
really
X-Men.
Really engaging lead, you know, he did a great job. I think it's, as far as, you know, sort of the mainstream, you know, zombie movies, you know, that are PG-13 and sort of more family-friendly, it's definitely, it's a good movie.
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to check that out because I really wanted to see it when I saw the trailer. And I just never got around to it. And it's interesting because that was one movie that I showed Amy the trailer, and she was like, I'd go see that. And I was like, yeah! So I'm going to have to rent it. Did you guys see it in the theater?
Oh, yeah.
It just came out. Oh,
yeah,
really?
I saw it in the theater, yeah.
Yeah.
Ian, again, you surprised me. You don't like zombies, and you went to go see
it. Well, when I saw that, they were taking a different tack with it. I actually saw the preview when I was seeing the first release of The Hobbit. And I saw the preview for that, and then Heidi had seen it too, and I'm like, I think I kind of want to see that because it had a good it had a good musical vibe to it. They had a lot of musical references in it, and it was it's the reverse. I don't want to talk too much about it if you haven't seen it, but it's cool. I liked it a lot.
Well, in any case, as far as World War Z is concerned, a friend of mine at work. His name is Ernesto. He probably made the best comment about the movie that I've heard, which is basically like, that thing is going to run on TNT forever. Like, it's just made for that, you know, TNT, AMC, you know. And I was like, you know what? You're right, because they won't even have to edit that much, you know, out of it. So
yeah, it was really bloodless. I mean, really,
there's no
blood. Seriously, like... You know, when they had the plane crash and he had, like, you know, a cut on his face, the little cut on his face bled more than it did when, like, they chopped her hand off.
I know! There was no blood on her stump at all! Like, I was like, how did he manage that? You know? I just think that it took many moments that you would see in a zombie movie that would be very intense and tried to manage pushing them off camera. And that removed a lot of the personal involvement that the audience could have had and a lot of the dramatic, like, oh, shit, tension. So, anyway, we've talked enough about World War Z. The World War Z is going to be one of those movies that somebody's like, in a year from now, like, yeah, remember World War Z? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I saw that movie. Like, I'm barely going to remember it. I was just so disappointed. But I think we should talk about better, more superior zombie movies.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
World War Z, because I think there's a lot out there, and obviously we've kind of talked about some of these in past podcasts, but there's a lot of, like, smaller zombie movies that maybe other people haven't seen, and, you know, I kind of jotted down a small list of stuff that I've seen and haven't seen, you know, so I figured we would start talking about some of those. And Ian, if you're good to go, I know you're not crazy about zombies.
No,
but
I'll try to keep up.
cool. So, I don't know, the first one the first series that I kind of wrote down was Wreck. The Wreck series?
Sure.
Have you guys seen those at all?
Oh, where are those from?
They're from Spain.
I've seen the first one.
Yeah. Though you haven't seen Wreck 2 or Wreck 3?
No, huh? I haven't seen Wreck 3.
Oh, well, well, Wreck is basically, to describe the premise of the very first movie, it's sort of a female reporter. She's with her camera crew, and they do, like, sort of like slice of life stories, like on the job stories. Like, they go.
Oh, Wreck. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sony remade this.
Yeah, they made it into Outbreak, which was kind of was decent in its own right, which is.
Exactly. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I saw Outbreak first on video, and I remembered liking it, and then I heard that it was a remake of Wreck, and I tracked down Wreck, and I remember watching Wreck and actually really liking the first one. Yeah, and it's basically like slice of life reporter with her camera crew. They go and they visit. Was it firemen? It was firemen, right?
Right, that's right.
Yeah, they go visit a firehouse to see like what a day in the life of a firefighter is. The firefighters get sent on a call, and they go visit an apartment building, and that's where the zombie outbreak sort of occurs. And Rec is sort of like one of the many in that found footage sort of genre of zombie movies.
It's one of the sort of first movies to really sort of embrace the found footage thing and make it a part of, you know, a part of the storytelling. You know, what everybody remembers about Rec is that fantastic moment where the dude uses the camera to kill the zombie.
I knew you were going to... One of us was going to have to mention that. Yeah, it's a classic moment in zombie cinema where the guy starts hitting the zombie with the camera, and it's like, this is awesome. Like, so yeah, I definitely would recommend Rec 1 and 2. 2 is a follow-up to 1 where a SWAT team outside of the building is sent into the building, which is never a good idea to send the SWAT team into the zombie infested building, and then what they have to deal with. And then Rec 3, which I saw recently a couple of weeks ago on DVD, a lot of people were pissed off about Rec 3 because it sort of, it abandons the found footage style almost immediately. And then becomes sort of a typical zombie movie, which is kind of unfortunate because Rec 3 takes place at a wedding. And I mean, if you're, if people aren't filming at a wedding, then what are they filming at? You know what I mean? Taking pictures or, you know, taking video. But in the very beginning of the movie, they make it clear, like, we are abandoning this. It's going to be much more sort of like a typical zombie movie that takes place at a wedding. But regardless of that, and regardless of the fans, I enjoyed it. It's not the best thing that I've seen, and it's definitely not as innovative as Rec 1 or Rec 2, but it's still a very solid, you know, enjoyable, has likable characters, you know, probably I would say just as good as an episode of, like, you know, Walking Dead, if not even maybe a little more so. So I enjoyed those three movies, and Paul, you should definitely check out Rec 3 if you get a chance.
Yeah, I think I will. I think it's on Netflix streaming right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's on streaming. I think I rented the disc, so, but those are some solid, and they are subtitled, they are in Spanish, which, you know, was great for me because I could understand some of it, although the Spanish speak really fast, and yeah, but I mean, it's a solid entry, and I think Rec 1 and 2 are considered almost classics, you know, in the genre, so, and they deserve to be, rightly so, because I think they're very, very solid entries. The next movie that I have written down here is one of my favorites of all time. Actually, I have a lot of my favorites of all time here, is Zombieland, which, you know, probably a lot of people have seen, but, you know, is very much sort of zombie comedy, you know, much in line, same, almost in this, not exactly in the same vein as Shaun of the Dead. I think Shaun of the Dead is a bit of a smarter movie than Zombieland, but Zombieland is a lot of fun, you know, and basically takes place during a zombie apocalypse. And Ian, have you seen that one?
No
zombie. You should check that one out. You would like it.
It's worth seeing just for the performance by
don't ruin it. There's a cameo.
I know.
No.
Bill Murray.
I'm not talking about
in it.
Okay. I wasn't talking about Bill Murray. I was talking about Woody Harrelson.
Oh, and yeah.
Woody Harrelson takes this thing and runs with it.
Yes, absolutely. He's fantastic in it, you know. But basically, it's sort of like zombie apocalypse from, like, maybe like the nerd's point of view. You know, the guy's a little timid. He's come up with rules for surviving the zombie apocalypse. And then he meets the Woody Harrelson guy who's sort of like, you know, the hard edge, kind of gun-toting, little odd, you know, sort of, I don't want to say like redneck or hillbilly, but a little bit of that.
You could say that. He's like a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
This is a dude for whom, like, the zombie apocalypse was made, you know?
Yeah,
it's like he's one of those dudes who was like no one before the thing, but like now he's king of the world.
Yeah, yeah, almost like Ash in Evil Dead, you know, where it's like he, from there, and it goes from there. They meet a couple other people on the way. I don't want to ruin it for you, but it's a very solid, you know, well written, well acted, you know, zombie horror comedy, and definitely one of my favorites, because I remember seeing this and being very surprised by it in the theater, not expecting much and just really, really enjoying it. So Zombieland. And let's see, next on the list I've got Dead Snow. Have you guys seen this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen it? It's another foreign film. Actually, let me look it up and see what country. I want to say
the original title is Dead Snow.
Yeah, it's Dead Snow, and it's basically Nazi zombies. Yeah, and it's freaking awesome. Well, I mean, it's awesome in the fact that the idea is really good. As far as like the execution of concept, you know, it does lack a little bit, but it's definitely a fun watch, especially if you're into, you know, zombies. What's Norwegian? Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. And this one is, I think, available on Netflix, may even be streaming, but this is a very solid flick. And, you know, it's sort of the typical teenagers go on a vacation, you know, they go on a vacation skiing in the cabin in the woods and whatever. And somehow the Nazi zombies that, you know, were buried there, you know, get released. And then it's them trying to survive against the Nazi zombie hordes. And, you know, again, it's got a little bit of a tongue in cheek vibe. It's a little bit of humor in there, but it definitely has the gore and a little bit of the creep factor to keep any zombie guy interested. So, I don't know. Cool. Definitely one of my favorites, and definitely worth checking out. Paul, you got any on your end?
I've got one. It's a Spanish horror movie. It's called Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Wow.
The title alone. Tombs of the Blind Dead. What's that?
Tombs of the Blind Dead. The original Spanish title is La Noche del Terror Ciego, which is Night of the Blind Terror. Yeah.
1972.
1971. It's about the Knights Templar, you know, the religious order, you know, that was they were put to death after they were convicted being of heresy. They were witches, and so they were put
I've
to
heard
death,
of
and
this.
They come back to the from the dead as these like sort of zombie things, and they're amazing because like the costume design on these things are just so good. They look fantastic. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of the look from the ring wraiths from the Lord of the Rings was taken from these Knights Templar from this movie. Before they were killed, they had their eyes torn out, like they were pecked out by birds while they were on the gallows. And so these are blind blind zombies. They actually hunt by sound. So that's one of the first times that conceit used in a horror movie, you know, that you've got this sort of blind they're a cross really between zombies and ghosts. They're more like mummies, kind of, you know, really, really creepy movie. It's ridiculously gory. It's kind of offensive, you know, into a modern audience. Even, you know, it's definitely exploitation. But holy cow, is it really effective? And like I said, the costuming of the blind dead, just really creepy.
Oh, that's cool. I want to check that out. I have to see. Do you know if it's on Netflix?
I don't know. I don't think it's on Netflix, but you might be able to get the. I think Blue Underground put it out on DVD.
A
while back. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm gonna have to check that out.
And there were sequels to it as well that weren't quite as good, but that first one, Tombs of the Blind Dead, was just fantastic.
Very cool. That's one I have not seen. I'm gonna have to check it out. Let's see. Another one on my list. Oh, this is kind of obscure. I don't think a lot of people have seen this one, but I actually rented this from Netflix, and I liked it so much that I ended up buying the disc off of Amazon. And it's the running time is only about like an hour long, which is really weird because, you know, it's billed as a feature film, but it's called Rambok. And I may be pronouncing it wrong. Berlin Undead. Obviously, I believe German, but it's really great in that it's, and the outbreak sort of happens, and these people are, and it follows like two workers who are kind of, from what I remember, renovating, doing some renovation work in this apartment building, and it's like a guy and his kid who's his assistant, and it's sort of basically what happens in this small apartment complex when the zombie apocalypse is going down outside. And so it's only an hour long, and I just remember it being having a decent amount of tension and being very interested in it because there's some decent human interaction and stuff. And obviously all the actors are unknown to me, so I'm very much like not knowing what's going to happen, who's going to survive what, and that's sort of the advantage of watching like a foreign horror film, is that you don't know any of the actors. Yeah. So you're like, you know, all bets are off, you know, stakes are up. So this one's, yeah, it says running time of 59 minutes. It's called Rambok Berlin Undead. It was released in 2010. And I think it made its way around the film festival circuit and got like a release on DVD. And like I said, it only runs like 59 minutes, little bit over that. But I would say for anyone who's interested in zombies and a story that's pretty interesting, I would check that one out, you know. And I think you can get that one off, at least rent the disc off of Netflix. So that was a good one. I enjoyed that one. Any others on your end, Paul? Do you have any other recommendations off the top?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd like to go like way back to 1943 for one first zombie movies called I Walked with a Zombie.
I've always wanted to see this. It's
amazing. It's directed by Jacques Tourneau, and it's Val Lewton, who was the producer.
Great.
RKO was the producer behind this. This was his second one. You know, he's the guy who made Cat People. You know, really, really stylish atmospheric stuff. It's not so much a really horror movie. I believe that it's sort of structured around the story of Jane Eyre in a way. But it's actually set in Haiti. You know, it's and it's really involved with the sort of the voodoo, you know, origins of zombies. I mean, this is actually, you know, dealing with zombies as, you know, their traditional, you know, before the Romero, you know, type got a hold of them. So where you've got a zombie who's someone who's really in a sleepwalking state, you know, without the willpower to even do anything for themselves. Really, really beautiful movie. It's another short one. It's only 69 minutes long. Super atmospheric, and it's just like you literally go to another world in this place.
Yeah, they always show this one on Turner Classic Movies, and for some reason I always miss it, or I forget to record it and or see it come up and record it and then it gets deleted. I've been wanting to see this one for a long time. I mean, I'm much more of a sort of like George Romero type zombie guy, but right. I've heard that this is a really good good film, and I've been wanting to check it out for a long time.
Yeah, it was written by Kurt Siodmak, who also wrote the Wolfman, and he was one of Universal / RKO's, you know, big go-to writers back in the day.
That's cool. It's
a good movie. You know, it's actually based on an article that came out, I guess, that was written about Haitian voodoo practices, and they adapted it to turned into this sort of gothic story.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. There's definitely a lot of older style zombie movies, you know, that, you know, don't necessarily make the top of my list that I've seen, like Fulci's Zombie.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people love that movie, or otherwise known as Zombie 2 or whatever. Yeah. And to me, I have that on DVD, and I like it for what it is, but I find it hard for me to recommend it because the zombies in Zombie, they don't really show up until, you know, the end of the movie, and then there's maybe only one or two really sort of like extreme gory kind of death moments that it seems like everyone hangs on to,
yeah,
you know, in that film and loves. And I'm like, yeah, but moments don't make a full movie, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, great, that's great, and maybe for the time it was made it was shocking, I guess, but like Fulci Zombie doesn't really hold up to me, you know. And I've seen it in the theater and on DVD. I've seen it at the New Beverly in yeah. LA, and you know, thought it was fine for what it was, but for some reason that thing is regarded as a classic, and I just can't, you know, get into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's another one called what is it, Don't Let Sleeping Corpses Lie. Have you heard of this movie?
Yeah, that's a great title.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, Don't Let Sleeping Corpses. Oh, here, Let Sleeping Corpses Lie. That's what it's called, 1974. Okay. This is another one, I mean, highly regarded, but I tried to watch it. Maybe I was tired. Mm-hmm. Could not get past, like, maybe the first 20 minutes, you know? And wasn't really into it, but maybe I need to try and sit through it. You know, same thing with Fulci Zombie. I think it takes too long to get to what I want in a movie. Like, there was definitely a time where it seemed like the buildup took forever, or yeah. maybe the audience had more patience, you know? And, but yeah, I can't really, I don't know. I can't recommend them to like an average audience.
What about The Crazies? Do you consider that sort of a zombie movie?
I would consider The Crazies, as much as a zombie movie as, like, say, 28 Days Later
uh-huh.
or 28 Weeks Later, you know, where sort of people are driven insane. I wouldn't say they were typically zombie. I would say, you know, 28 Days Later kind of fulfills more of the zombie requirement because they try and eat you or bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and The Crazies is sort of like people engaging in horrible acts.
Yeah.
What do you think about The Crazies?
The original or the remake?
Yeah, the original, because I don't think it's a very good movie either.
Well, the original one's got some problems, you know.
Big time.
I feel like the remake was actually a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, I thought the remake was okay. I saw that in the theater, but again, it sort of lacked a bit of punch for me. Like, it didn't. It kind of carried the ball down the field, and then when it came down to make a touchdown, it kind of just like sputtered under its own sort of weight. Like, did we see that together?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. But hey, Ian, are we boring you yet?
No, I'm actually learning a lot about movies I never knew existed.
Yeah, I mean, The Crazies remake I thought was solid, but again, I definitely think it needed a little bit more kick to it. But the one thing that, and this is Paul and my favorite, one of our favorites, I know that Paul, you like this, is a British TV miniseries, which I don't even know if it's been released in the U.S. You know what I'm going to talk about, right,
Paul? Yes, I do. It's a great show.
We almost break this thing out like every Halloween to watch, and it's called Dead Set. And it is absolutely fantastic. And the reason that I have it is because I have a region-free DVD player. And I bought it off of Amazon.co.uk. And basically the concept behind Dead Set, and if you were a zombie fan, if you like the Romero movies, if you like the 28 Days Later movies, you will love Dead Set. And it's basically like five-part miniseries. The first part is an hour, and the rest of the parts are a half an hour. And it's basically takes place on the set of Big Brother, you know, the Big Brother TV show.
Yeah.
And it's what happens to the cast of Big Brother while the zombie apocalypse is going on outside their door. And it's pretty freaking amazing. Just has really great characters, a really great lead character, a really great unique situation, and just, you know, really plays off of the fact that a lot of the people that seem to go on these reality shows are like selfish, idiotic, you know, completely like self-absorbed bastards, you know, and can't really figure out a way to work together, you know. And it's brilliant, and it is absolutely one of my favorite kind of like zombie pieces of work out there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a comedy sort of satire about television that was shown on television.
Yeah.
And that also manages to be a fantastic zombie movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't hold back on anything. It's gory. It definitely has its moments of humor, which are kind of raunchy, but it's full bore, like one of the best zombie projects out there. And I love it. And I think I've watched it, like, since I got the DVD, I think I've watched it once a year. Like since I got the DVD, like I'll always break it out like around Halloween and watch it. It's one of my favorites of all time, and I just don't know if it's available here in the U.S. You know, which would be too bad, because I think that like I keep saying, it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, Dead Set. Check it out. Hold on, I'm typing it in on Amazon. Is it there? Dead Set. It looks like you can get it on Instant Video. So that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. If you can get it, but the only way to get it like on any kind of disc format is if you have a region-free DVD player like I do, or Blu-ray player like I do. So definitely check out Dead Set.
Go to Christian's house and watch it.
Yeah, go to my house on Halloween, because I love that movie, and I will absolutely... This is one of those movies where it's like, twist my arm to watch it, you know? Like, I would love to watch that. But, Paul, you have another recommendation, or...?
You know, I've got one that's... I wouldn't say it's a recommendation.
Oh, okay. Oops.
But, you know who, The Asylum is?
The Asylum? No.
The Asylum is this film company that makes low-budget sort of what they call mockbusters. They take whatever is sort of like current and hot, and they make like sort of a stripped-down Z-movie version of it. And they're really... They're not good movies, but they did one... that was a takeoff of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Uh-huh.
That was called Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And it's... And like I said, it's not a good movie. But the guy who plays Abraham Lincoln, his name's Bill Oberst Jr.
I'm looking it up right now.
This guy, he gives a really good performance as Abraham Lincoln.
This guy's sort of
my new favorite horror actor. He came sort of in the public eye first because he did that creepy Facebook stalker thing. There was a interactive video thing called Take This Lollipop. It actually used the Facebook Connect thing, and he would get like these interactive pictures and messages from Facebook, and like this dude just worked his ass off. He's been in like hundreds of films over the last few years, and I've seen a few of them, and most of the movies usually are not very good, but he always like gives it like 110%. This guy, one of the things that he caught my eye in was at Zed Fest. He was in...
oh, that's right.
One of the short movies. He was... Did you see the one? It was like the Russian... like sort of...
Yeah.
The mind control... He was the guy who was the Russian mind control agent who fought like the one, you know, he came to the to Los Angeles to hunt down the agent who had gone astray. You know, I seriously think that this guy is like on our way to becoming sort of the modern equivalent of Boris Karloff.
Really?
And yeah, you can absolutely quote me on that, because like this guy is, and to top it all off, like he's just a nice guy too. Like I follow his Facebook feed and everything like that, and the guy's just really nice. He's smart. He has a great YouTube video on advice for actors coming to really? Los Angeles, and it's like 5 or 6 minutes long. It's just stuff that he wishes people had told him before he came to Los Angeles.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, it's a really, really interesting. He's definitely an actor to watch out for. And it's one of those things where, you know, if I see that he's in the movie, automatically I'm kind of like, okay, well, I'm interested in that.
Oh, cool. Bill Oberst Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check out Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies. I mean, I know you say it's not like a fantastic movie, but maybe it's just, you know, worth checking out. Let me see. Another recommendation. I'm checking off my list as I go through it. Have you guys seen Fido?
No.
Oh, man. This is another sort of like comedy. Which is funny because it seems like a lot of these movies on my list are comedies, and it's basically, it's excellent. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant sort of, I don't know, farce comedy, sort of not really a horror, but it's definitely a zombie movie, because it's basically what happens after the apocalypse has passed and everyone survived and zombies have become like domesticated and they've so become like pets. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
And they help around the house and they do chores and stuff. And it is an absolutely fantastic little film that I believe I rented off of Netflix. And, you know, it's just like you sit there and you think about it, like it picks up sort of like where Shaun of the Dead like almost left off, which is like, you know, at the end where his friend is he's playing video games with his friend and his friend is dead, and it takes that idea and just like runs with it and makes it its own. And the best part about it is that it's sort of set from, if I remember correctly, in sort of like late 60s, like mid 60s or early 60s, so sort of around the time when the original Night of the Living Dead occurred, you know.
Yeah, so and so it could have conceivably happened in Romero's universe kind of thing.
yeah sort of. And it's just really cute, and it's so odd to say that a zombie movie is like really cute and sweet, but it is. It's just a fun movie, and you know, I can't recommend it enough. If you're looking for something actually entertaining and that's kind of going to make you chuckle, I'm not saying it's the best horror comedy that I've ever seen, but I will say that it's one of the better ideas I've seen translated to screen. So I really, really enjoyed Fido. So I would say check it out. Here comes my buzzing. Oh, jeez. Plug in. Yeah.
Sorry.
I had to plug in. Oh, crap. Anyway, any others on your end, Paul?
Oh, man. I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like there's just so many zombie movies. I've forgotten about so many of these, you know, now that I've stopped and started looking at these.
Well, hey, but there is one that seems to be on everyone's list that I have not seen and that I know that you've seen, Paul. Cemetery Man?
Oh, yeah. The sort of Dylan Dog-esque movie. It was it was written by the same writer as the Dylan Dog things. But it's not
You
Dylan
mean of
Dog.
The comics?
Yeah.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, Dylan Dog is, I believe it's an Italian comic book, and it has to deal with the guy who's a little quirky, you know, a little different, and he's basically like a paranormal investigator, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, this Cemetery Man is based on a book that is by the writer of the Dylan Dog comic.
Oh, so it's not based on Dylan Dog.
No, it's not based on Dylan Dog, but it's got a really similar idea, and the main character is just, you know, when you look at him, he looks exactly like Dylan Dog.
Yeah, Rupert Everett?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. So what does the basic plot break down to?
He's a cemetery caretaker. Lives on the, you know, basically lives in the cemetery.
Yeah.
And, you know, he sort of has no life whatsoever. But there's what happens is that he lives there because people, whenever they're buried in the cemetery, on the seventh night after they've been buried, they rise from the dead and they're ready to, you know, kill and attack the living. So he's sort of the caretaker, the one who has to, you know, who has to kill the undead before they, you know, kill the living. And, you know, it's what happens. You know, he falls in love with someone, but she dies and then rises, and so, you know, so there's like sort of a zombie romance kind of a thing. Uh-huh. You know, it's really weird. It's just a very weird movie. It's got like some like crazy psychosexual stuff in it. But it looks great. I mean, it's a fantastic looking movie, and you know, it's probably the closest I think that you're going to get visually to a Dylan Dog movie. That, you know, because I know they did a Dylan Dog movie, but it wasn't very good from what I heard. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh no. And that Brandon Routh. Like
Brandon Routh. I don't know. Did you see that, Ian? Did you see Dylan Dog?
No, I mean, I'm reading the ones that you actually lent me. They're awesome.
Oh yeah, those are great.
Oh
yeah,
man,
yeah.
They're just so they're so detailed. They're really kind of deep, and the writing and the artwork is so good. It's just like it's kind of abstract and weird, and it's interesting because that movie, you know, it's kind of like they went the route of The Shadow for that movie, where it's like, sure, it says Dylan Dog, but none of the thematic, you know, or the creative elements that made the comic great seem to wind up in that movie, at least not in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I haven't seen it.
I prefer the book for now. Yeah, I'm not going to touch it. I don't know. There's something about it that just looks really not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to check it out of curiosity. It's really funny, yeah. Ian, because you know who gave me those books was Paul. You gave me those Dylan Dog American version. And they actually came out, they're from Dark Horse, and Dark Horse a couple of years ago came out with this giant like omnibus, and I would recommend it for anyone who likes like quirky horror or sort of like paranormal investigative things. The Dylan Dog comics are absolutely like super fun and just incredibly well illustrated, and the way I discovered them was on my honeymoon in Italy. They were all over the place at newsstands, train stations, and I bought a ton of them that were in Italian, and I don't speak or read Italian, but I was just buying these because the illustrations are so incredible, and the American ones that they came out with don't even touch, you know, like what the rest of the, you know, what the comic book is like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Dylan Dog, the comic by Dark Horse, you should definitely check those out. Let me see, another zombie movie I have here is called The Dead. I don't know if either of you have seen this one.
All I can think of is the James Joyce book right there. I'm like, that's not a zombie movie.
No. This one came out a couple of years ago, looks like 2010, and it basically takes place in Africa, and it's like an American military engineer. He's trying to survive and get out of Africa, where an outbreak has occurred. Now, I don't think that this is... I rented this with high expectations because I'd heard it recommended in a lot of different places. And I don't think that this is as good as it could have been, but it seems to be a very well-regarded zombie movie. And for that reason, I'm kind of mentioning it here.
Well, it's got a different setting. That's a nice, you know,
yeah.
That's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, and it's a solid movie, but again, this is one that that lacks a bit of the punch that or the dramatic intensity that I like in my zombie movies. But I think it's very well made. It's a little dry for my tastes, and I mean it's well photographed for a low budget film. But it lacks something. And another interesting thing about it, which is not a reason for me to recommend it, is apparently there have been some people that see it as a bit racist, sort of, you know, the white guy in Africa trying to escape from, you know, the black undead hordes, you know, sort of that sort of thing. I think a lot of people have had issues with possibly seeing some subtext in that. You know, I can't speak to that. I didn't really see that in here, you know, but I did think that it was an entertaining and a zombie movie that if somebody's kind of craving, you know, a zombie movie and, you know, wants a little bit more impact than Zombieland had, this would be something to check out. You know, it doesn't have the scope or, you know, the budget that Zombieland had, but it's effective for what it is, in my opinion. Not the best, but not the worst. Let's see, other zombie things that I can recommend. Well, obviously, we've got, you know, the old standbys, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. Some of the best, well, the ones that started it all, really.
Yeah.
You know, if you have not seen these movies and you have seen Zombie World War Z, please do yourself a favor and check those movies out. They may not be as sophisticated in the way that they're made, but there is subtext to them, there is texture to them, there is depth to them that you are not going to find in a lot of not just zombie movies, but any kind of movie, you know what I mean? And there's also humor to a certain extent. You know, they take themselves seriously, but not too seriously. And I can't recommend those movies enough. Let's see. A podcast that I'd like to recommend that's zombie-themed. Have either of you guys heard of We're Alive?
No, but now I have.
What is it? You guys gotta check this out, okay? They're two seasons into it. It's a podcast, and it's basically like a radio drama, and it's called We're Alive. You can find it on iTunes, and the first season is absolutely fantastic. Solid production value, great sound effects, really decent acting for the most part. It does tend to devolve a little bit into melodrama, but I have to chalk that up to the fact that, you know, it's a radio drama. So they have to do a little bit more with their emotions than what you would usually find, you know, like on a TV show or something, or in a film. But it's solid. It's worth checking out. And I burned through the first two seasons within like a couple of months, like listening to them at work. Season one is definitely better than season two, but it is fantastic. I mean, I could not believe what these guys pulled off. They're definitely professional. They won't have that slight buzzing that you're probably hearing on our podcast right now because I don't have a grounded connection in the garage for some reason. And but I can't recommend this thing enough. You guys got to check it out as soon as you can. This is great listening for like driving home at night, like in the dark on your commute, or if you're just like sitting at work and you have the type of job where you can listen to something on your headphones, which I tend to find myself in that position. It's great. And I would recommend it for any zombie fan. It may not be, it's obviously not going to be visually intense, but it leaves a lot to your imagination. And I cannot recommend it enough. It is one of my favorite zombie things of all time. And,
really cool.
That is a really, yeah. You know.
And you find that at zombiepodcast.com.
Oh, is that the URL? Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, or you can search on YouTube.
You kids iTunes. With the U-tunes today.
You kids with the on iTunes and just look for We're Alive. Or you could type in probably zombie and it'll come up. You know, other things to cleanse the palate of the blandness that is World War Z. Obviously, you've got Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror.
Yes.
Which, you know, is a really solid take on, you know, zombies, which I loved when I saw it. I actually saw it on DVD. I didn't get a chance to see, you know, the Grindhouse Tarantino Rodriguez double bill because we had just... Yeah, you did. How did it play in the theater for you, Paul? Because I only saw it on DVD.
It was fantastic. You know, I saw it in the... I saw it at the Rialto there in South Pasadena, which is...
When it was still open.
It was... I mean, this was one of the last things they showed. I mean, the thing was just falling apart around me. So it was just the perfect environment to see this in. And, you know, they did all the stuff with, like, you know, the missing reels, like, you know, turned it... It was hilarious. It was one of the better movie experiences I think I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, I actually think that Planet Terror for me was better than the what was it? Death Proof, the Tarantino one.
Not me, but that's where we'll have to disagree.
No, I actually liked. I enjoyed Planet Terror more because it just, you know, I don't know. To me, it was just more fun.
Yes.
And just crazier, and you know, I just think it took me to a place where I was just really enjoying it. And again, it seems like so many of my picks are like comedic based, but this definitely had a sense of humor about it. Ian, you might even like it.
Really?
Yeah, I think you might like it. It's
I'm
not necessarily scary.
I'm down to try anything, man.
Yeah, I don't know if Heidi will like it, but you might like. There's definitely some gory moments, but I don't think that it's, you know, it's not like a scare fest, you know.
Okay.
It's more like a fun, crazy time at the movies. So, yeah, I don't know. Other than, here's the last one that I kind of wanted to mention. I mean, we've mentioned Shaun of the Dead. We've mentioned, you know, Dawn and Day of the Dead. One thing a zombie movie that I really like, and it's kind of relevant right now because this director directed the latest Superman movie, which most of us, not all of us, were disappointed in. Ian liked it, but loved it. But the Dawn of the Dead remake by Zack Snyder. I actually think that this is probably Zack Snyder's best movie, in my opinion. The Dawn of the Dead remake, you know, I think was a very solid take on Romero's original. I think it unfortunately lacked some of the subtext of it, but it kind of made up for it with the modern feel and, you know, the intensity of the running zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Good, like really good performances, you know, and very tense. I remember I saw that in the theater, and it was just a really tense, good movie.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater too, and just from that beginning opening scene with the little girl and the husband, I was like, "Ooh, this is going to be very decent." And I remember sitting in the theater watching that opening, and the people around us just being like, just sucked into it and just being like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just from then on in, it takes you on a ride. The only thing that it really lacks, again, is any sort of like subtext of the original. And I think that it fails to make the mall a character as much as the original did. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that the mall in the original Dawn of the Dead was a character in and of itself.
And you know what I'm going to say? Is I'm going to say that that's more a comment on modern malls than it is on anything else. Because I feel like that there's less... I feel like there is less character in a mall than there used to be.
Yeah, I could see that too. But I also think that there's some sort of commentary that could be made, maybe different, or maybe we haven't moved far enough where we're still wrapped up in consumerism. You know, I don't know, but I just felt like it lacked a certain something, and they could have found something in the screenplay, you know, to maybe make the mall more central to the story. There's a bunch of other stuff that I have not seen, but from the reading I did, I'm just going to mention them here. And, you know, I don't know if either of you guys have seen this. There's a movie called Dead Girl, which apparently has gotten good notice. It's supposed to be kind of intense and a little uncomfortable to watch. Ooh. But also has sort of like a zombie theme in there. I have not seen Dead Alive, believe it or not.
You've never seen Dead Alive?
I've never seen Dead Alive.
What?
Never. I know.
Dude,
I know.
You have to see Dead Alive.
I'm going to have to see it. That's another sort of like off the wall, like comedy sort of thing, right?
Yes, it is. It's comedic. It's romantic. Jackson. Did you see The Frighteners?
Yes, of course. I love The Frighteners.
If you love The Frighteners, you'll love Dead Alive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I could recommend The Frighteners heartedly. I mean, I saw that in the theater, and I love that movie, but that doesn't have anything to do with zombies. But Dead Alive, that's a zombie flick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in as much as, you know, anything bitten by the Sumatran rat monkey becomes undead, you know, sort of.
I've only seen pieces of it.
Wow, that's one of my all-time favorites, and the only reason I didn't even bring it up is because I just assumed that you had seen it.
No, I have not seen it. I want to see it, and I have to make a judgment call as to whether Amy could deal with it, because it is pretty, like, crazy as far as the gore.
It is over-the-top gory, but, I mean, but at a point where it sort of borders on becoming cartoonish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, of course, yeah. Which I've seen from the clips that I've seen, but I guess I'm going to have to check that out, and I would recommend, I mean, it is Peter Jackson, so other people should check that out. Something else that I found, apparently, that if you enjoy Kung Fu and zombies, is a movie called Versus. Have either of you seen this?
There's actually a younger movie that Jackie Chan did that involves some haunted elements and some zombies. God, I gotta find it. But yeah, Versus is actually, I think it's on Netflix right now.
I'm sure you can check it out, but a friend of mine at work lent me the DVD and I never got around to watching it. But she kept saying, like, you're going to love this movie. You're going to love this movie. And when I did a search at work today, this is one of the movies that came up. And I was like, I should have checked it out. Like, I ended up having to return it because I just couldn't get around to watching it for some reason.
I think the Jackie Chan one is it Fantasy Mission Force or something? No, I'm serious. I'm looking for it right now because it's a total whackball movie. This was when he was still acting with the guys from the Chinese Opera House. So like Sammo Hung's in it, and I'm gonna find it. Keep talking.
And then apparently there's another British series, isn't out on DVD in the UK yet, called In the Flesh, which apparently seems like it's supposed to be a very smart take where the zombies come back from the dead and they can interact with people, and you know, society doesn't know what to do with them. There's a trailer out there which is a really good trailer, but once it comes out, I don't know if it'll ever come out in the US, but Amazon.co.uk would definitely be, you know, the place to go for that.
It's one of those three episode, you know, miniseries things, but they renewed it for a second season. So
Oh great.
I love what they call it, partially deceased syndrome.
Yeah, not the undead. Well, you know, I could talk about Resident Evil. I like the first Resident Evil.
Oh, I love those. I've seen, I think one.
Have you seen all of them?
No, oh, I saw one and two. I was actually disappointed that the direction in two was when she fought that bigger monster
at
the end, and they didn't show her fighting. And I know she could move, but the camera shots were really kind of weird. Perhaps it just didn't work because the guy in that suit was moving like a drunk like lumberjack. Yeah. It was like it must have been really heavy in that thing.
Yeah,
you know. But I always dig those movies for some reason. I don't know why. I just
I like the first one a lot. I remember the first one really. I was very surprised as to how much it did not disappoint me. I think I've seen up to three, and the two and three is just. You know, I may have seen that in the theater, and I gave up after that point. Right. But I just remember the first Resident Evil, and, you know, I used to love the video games when I had a PlayStation.
Oh, sure.
And all. Oh, I loved those games. I played 1, 2, and 3, got through all three of them.
Wow.
Wasted too much time on those.
Oh, my God,
Yeah, but love the Resident Evil games, but I actually really, really, really enjoyed the first Resident Evil, and may have to go back and revisit it sometime soon because I think it's much more exciting in its execution than something like World War Z, and I think that it has the... I think you might have liked it, Ian, because it has a lot of action in it, right?
Exactly,
and,
yeah. I think, you know...
You're a fight fan.
If there's a touch of zombie stuff, that's cool. I mean, I really like the Underworld movies.
Oh yeah,
as well. And there's a werewolf movie, I'll see that. So it is kind of related. And I think I think Walking Dead's really kind of at least opened my eyes to a lot of the stuff that's been going on. In some ways, I feel like zombie movies are like kung fu movies. Like there will be a swarm of it, and then it'll kind of die out, and they'll still the genre will still go, and then you'll get this hot spot, kind of like we're in now. You know, and so it's you know, actually, guys, now that I think of it, I know we're talking about movies, but Night of the Owls, the new Batman 52 arc, that has some zombie influence in it. I don't want to be too specific, but
the biggest video game right now is a zombie game, The Last of Us.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. Now, did you guys read the Night of the Owls arc?
I read some of the beginning, and I was waiting for the trades. So
Volume 1 is out, and Volume 2 and 3, I think, come out hardcover this week. So the soft covers will be out soon. I mean, that was some of the best Batman stuff I've read in years.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
And, even that, I was like, it touched on some zombie stuff. So... really kind of, it's kind of everywhere at this point, so we'll see how far it can continue to go.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think it's going to die out anytime soon. I mean,
no.
There's always going to be a zombie movie around. The subject matter is so fascinating. I've been fascinated since I saw my first one, and I've just been a huge zombie fan. I mean, we didn't even mention Return of the Living Dead,
mm-hmm.
which is just like a classic. You know, beyond, I just love Return of the Living Dead, which was supposed to be sort of like, you know, what would you call it, Paul? Like a farce? Or like a, it was supposed to be sort of like a comedy or, you know, by...
It's O'Bannon, Dan O'Bannon.
Yeah, Dan O'Bannon, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I would really call it. It's just a good zombie movie that happens to be funny.
Solid. That should be on the top of your list if you've never seen it, Return of the Living Dead. Forget about the sequels. We're about to hit an hour and a half, so let me leave with just one last recommendation, and it's called La Horde, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correct. It's a French zombie action horror thing, and it's sort of like The Raid meets Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, so you have these,
these guys go, these cops go into, I think is, yeah, it's these cops go into a building to arrest a gangster, and basically the zombie apocalypse happens, and it's like how the cops and the gangsters kind of have to team up. And Ian, you would like this one too, because there's definitely fighting in it,
yeah,
and there's action, and it is the one of the very first movies I've ever seen where a dude punches a zombie in the face.
Ah, like, love it.
Starts punching him in the face, which I don't think I'd ever seen in a zombie movie. That but this one is a lot of solid fun. It's probably not as hardcore as maybe some people would like. And, you know, it's another one that doesn't take itself too seriously, but filled with action, has good characters, very good action set pieces, and I would recommend highly over World War Z.
Cool.
All right. So with that, that leaves us with... the zombie episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for doing this, guys. I am Christian Horn, and that is Paul Edwards, along with Ian Scheller, finally back.
Yes.
Thanks to Time Warner, or in spite of them, or just Time Warner Cable Services. And this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for checking us out. Woo, zombie, zombie.
Anyway.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
I'm not doing part-time.